You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Okay. So today we are continuing the series The Secret Place. Jason introduced us to this series last week. And who has been blessed by worship this morning? I've been truly blessed, and that's something that God wants to do here, and we need to be ready to receive it. I'm ready. You ready? So if you can, open up your Bibles with me, Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." That's why I had to pray. Father God, we thank you so much that what you've done here this morning, God, this time of worship, that we get to come on a Sunday and just give praise to you, to worship you. Oh God, that we can enter your presence and receive something from you and give something to you, God. I pray as we go deeper into understanding the secret place, oh God, that we understand more and more what it means for us to go into our rooms, to close the doors, and to talk to our Father. God, I pray for what's done in the unseen in our lives, oh God, will overflow to what is seen, oh God, right, so others may see you. Father God, open up our hearts and our minds to receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are in a series titled The Secret Place, because we believe God is calling each one of us to discover or rediscover a true place of intimacy with Him. I was really encouraged when Mike was sharing about things that he's changing to go deeper into his intimacy with God. And this is the invitation for all of us during this series, during this season of looking to the secret place, that all of us can go deeper into our relationship with God. How many of us want to grow in deep intimacy with God? I want. So today, God is inviting each one of us to step further into His presence. So Jason introduced this series last week, and together we're exploring different aspects of what God has called us to do in secret, as found in Matthew 6. So one of these things that Jesus has asked us to do in secret is prayer. Like I just read, go into your room and pray. So Jesus teaches his disciples that prayer is not just meant to be a declaration for others to hear, but something offered for the ear of one, God. I don't know how you guys learn how to pray, but we have little ones at home, and my youngest is 2, and she's just 3 now. She just turned 3. So my youngest is 3, and she's learning how to pray. While we were in Brazil, she went to Sunday school, kids work, and she was in this class with lots of 2 years old at the time. And we pray quite often in our house. We pray before we go to sleep, we pray during food, we pray in any opportunity in the car, before school. When we have a difficult call, we invite the girl to pray. So she's used to pray. But her prayers, many were like, "Father God, thank you for the food. Thank you for mommy. Thank you for daddy. Thank you for my sisters." But then one day, we were all at the table, and she just said, "Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross to clean my heart." And I was really taken that she said that. And that was her prayer. And, you know, we all went in that journey one day where we had a revelation that changed our prayer life, different things that we started to pray. And for little Joanna, she is quite obsessed about the cross and the story about the cross. And but it really took me that she, that age, understood there was something special about Jesus and about what he's done. And our prayer life is all to do with that, the revelations that the Holy Spirit brings to our hearts about who God is. So as I pray and reflect on what to share about today about prayer, I know you guys have done a series on prayer not long ago. God placed a character from the Bible on my heart. And I believe he not only understood how to see God in the secret place, but also he lived the life shaped by prayer. So this character is Daniel. And just like Daniel, we are too a call, not only to know how to pray, to grow in our prayer life, but also to live a life of prayer. So if you're taking notes today, the title of my message is Daniel, a life of prayer. So Daniel was a young man from the royal or noble court of Jerusalem, Judah. When his nation lost its dominion to the king of Babylon, Daniel, together with other younger men, was taken to serve in the Babylonian court. So Daniel and his friends stood out because of the knowledge and wisdom they carry, and because of this, they were placed in positions of influence. So, as you know, the people of Israel was taken into exile in Babylon. Daniel was one of those. He was chosen, young man, and was known by how clever he was, basically. But as I read the book of Daniel, what really stood out to me was his secret place with God, the close and the intimate life he lived with him. Because Daniel understood the power and importance and joy of living a life in prayer. He had quite a remarkable relationship with God. So our life of prayer is the foundation of a Christian walk and our relationship with God. It is the place where our faith is revealed, because what we truly believe and hope for comes to the surface. It is also the place where we give God space to speak to us and to shape us. So if our prayers are limited to quick mechanical words that we do before we eat or sleep, today God is calling us for more. So now, when I was little, a bit older than Joanna, because I can't remember being Joanna's age, I remember when I first started to develop a closer relationship with God. And just like the girls just went to kids' work, I used to go to church. And I remember one of our Sunday school teachers teaching us how to journal. So I had a little journal at the age of 7, 8. And what I used to do, I would write things to God. God, today it rained. God, today was a cool day. God, today not so good. So my life of prayer starts like this, just simple prayers, talking to God. And I remember one day when I asked God to start replacing my thoughts with prayers. I don't know about you, but I'm a person that can think quite a lot. And this is what I did, 8, 7, 8, asking God to replace my thought with prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to us that we need to pray constantly. All times, all the time. So this is an exercise that is really good for all of us to do. How can we, all the time, pray to God, being constant, speaking to him? And then as I grew up as a teenager, I was then encouraged to see God in a different way. So our church, maybe when I was 12, 13, we bought a land on the farm, and it had a massive, like, hill. So every Friday, our church used to do a prayer vigil, just an all night prayer. And then my dad used to take me every Friday to go and pray with church. And that was the time when I learned how to persevere in prayer and stay awake to pray. And I used to stay, my dad used to stay there until I couldn't handle anymore. So maybe 1 a.m., 2 a.m. That was the time that when I would go home. But I was really, truly marked by those all-night prayers. And not just to learning how to, like we did this morning, we worship. We would worship, we would pray, we'd be on our knees, and we just declare, pray in tongues, just persevering God's presence, finding ways of continuing His presence, let Him speak, let Him do. But one thing that was truly marked was by the other adults that would be on that hill with me, and particularly one lady from our church. She used to lead the intercession team, and she really marked just the way that she would pray and speak about God and how she would encourage the group to continue pray. Like when silence suddenly would come, she would just encourage us with another Bible verse and another thing, so no one would sleep, but just continue in prayer. And this was when I also started to learn more about praying in the night. So I would wake up, put an alarm on my phone to pray. And I think this really changed my teenage years of intimacy with God and just learning how to hear His voice. And I think God wants this for all of us. How can we seek Him? How can we persevere? And now as an adult, like moving to England, I came to understand the importance of praying in tongues. This is something that we've done this morning as well. Ephesians 6:18 says that we need to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And sometimes when we get to a point in our prayer when we don't know what else to say, or we got to a point where we don't know what else to request from God, we can pray in tongues and the Spirit pray in our behalf. And I told this for the guys in worship team this week. We had a practice and I said about a film called War Room that I watched in my 20s. And it's about this lady, older lady, that is a younger lady, about prayer, how to pray, how to persevere, how to battle, how to fight in prayer. And she had this little cupboard that she showed her in her house, and it was just full of prayers all over the room. And then after that, I started to have a prayer board where I would just write down things that God was speaking to me, just like Ursula came with her notes. She wrote down what God spoke to her, and I would do that just right now. And as the months and the years passed, I could really see there was a theme there that God was speaking to me, and I could grow in revelation that He had for my life. And just as I talked to you a little bit about my prayer life, as you read Daniel, and I encourage you today to grab Daniel and read, it's a very short book. As you read Daniel, you have this impression, you get this impression of his relationship with God. He had such a strong relationship with God, and he often saw his presence. Daniel is perhaps best known for the story of when he was thrown into the lion's den. And the reason he faced that punishment to be thrown in the lion's den was because he was found praying to God. The Bible tells us that Daniel set aside time to pray 3 times a day. And as you read the entire book of Daniel, you realize how much God revealed to him and used Daniel's life, all because his life was founded on prayer. So what I want to bring this morning is about 4 things that I believe Daniel received from God through his life of prayer. And I believe the same things God has for us as well. Okay, so first thing that Daniel learned from God was identity. So Daniel grew up among the nobles in Jerusalem, but then he found himself as a captive in a foreign land, Babylon. In Babylon, he was given a new name. So it was a Babylon practice to rename captives to make them part of their culture and their religion. So Daniel, whose name means God is my ruler, he became known as Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar, which means, that name means Baal's prince or Baal's servant. So he went for God is my God to become the servant of this foreign god, Baal. And in that land, Daniel was put in a 3-year training program where he would learn the culture, the customs, the religion, and the way of life of this foreign land. So they're basically trying to take everything out from Daniel that was part of his culture, the culture of God, to transform him in someone that could serve this new land. But yet, the Bible tells us that Daniel remained faithful to God and did not abandon his calling to be pure as an Israelite. He made a conscious decision to live in a way that pleased God despite his circumstances. How many of us, just like Daniel, live in this world here that has nothing of God? And how many of us are making a conscious decision to live for him despite our circumstances? The Bible also tells us how God blessed Daniel with knowledge, with wisdom, with dreams, with visions, and the ability to interpret them. He was placed in position of influence and repeatedly called by the king to interpret dreams, visions, and supernatural events. So Daniel, he was only a slave, only a captive, but because of his life of prayer, because of his secret place, the life he had with God, the intimacy, he was elevated into a role of a prophet in practice. So Daniel wasn't a prophet like we had the other ones, Jeremiah and things, but because of his secret life, he was put in a place where he had the ability to dream, to have visions, to interpret them. By knowing God, by seeking God daily, Daniel became usable in God's hand. And as you read the book of Daniel, you see that God truly was his ruler, like his original name said, God is my ruler. And though Daniel had no official title of prophet, his intimacy with God positioned him to declare the mind and the heart of God in a foreign land, in a place where no one was really interested about God. There he was, Daniel, declaring who God was. So if you can open up with me, Daniel, you can keep it open. We're going to be reading lots of different passages in Daniel. Daniel 2, verse 27 to 28. Daniel 2, 27 to 28. It says, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Daniel 5, 12 to 16. Daniel 5, 12 to 16 says, Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he'll tell you what the writing means. So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I've heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. Church, today you may not hold a position of influence like Daniel. You may not be called in the king's chamber. You may not have the title of a pastor. You may not have the title of a prophet. But your intimacy with God, your investment in your secret place, your life of prayer, this is what will shape the true identity God has for you. He has called each one of you to priesthood, to be sons, to be daughters, to be living letters, to be disciple makers. But only a life of prayer can help us from not being in a place where we're being take off our identity of king, of sons and daughters of God, to a place where we can walk in the path of God. You know, we can be in this world and being corrupted, being paralyzed, or be changed by this word. But God is calling us to be in our secret place, looking at him, finding him, having him as our source, so we can walk in the path that he has prepared for us. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12, he says. So 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy, living godly lives in a pagan society. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So just like Daniel, we are called, just like foreigners and exiles in this land, to live such a life that when they see things happening, when they need help, they call upon us, holy people, the ones that can receive from God the interpretation needed to save this land. So Daniel put himself in many dangerous situations so that he could walk in the identity God had for him. And just as Daniel was faithful to God, God was faithful to Daniel. As you read further into the book of Daniel, you see the dynamics of their relationship. And I was greatly encouraged to see how God affirmed Daniel's identity in him. As God began to reveal more and more, he started to reveal him complex dreams, complex visions. He continued reminding Daniel of his love for him. I'm going to say a few verses. You don't need to open up. No, pay attention. Daniel 9:22-23 says, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Some other verses say, because you are great, beloved, or you are so loved. Daniel 10:11, he says, he said, Daniel, you who are highly seen, oh, beloved, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. Other one, Daniel 10:19, do not be afraid, because you are highly seen, or you are beloved, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. I know God was constantly reminding Daniel of his love for him. You know, he could just look at his situation, being captive, in the land that he didn't belong, full of people worshiping other gods, and just be discouraged. But he was far from that. He was not just courage, but he would act upon the things that God has called him. And God will constantly remind him, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. You are truly beloved. Church, I want to remind you today that God loves you. He created you with a purpose. And he gave you an identity. He's the one who gives you the strength to walk in the life he has for you. A life as an exile in this world. Declaring, proclaiming the heart and the mind of God to the people he wants to make his own. Do not be afraid to live out everything God has for you. Be bold and dive into the secret place with God. Let him continue to shape you into who he created to be. So Jason and I, yesterday, we were in an intercession workshop, all about intercession prayer. And one of the things that they said in one session is how when we are living in the purpose that God has for us, when our lives is completely in the center of God's will, we ourselves are in intercession as person, as a people. Daniel, in that land, he was an intercession in that place. He was there in any opportunity declaring who the true God was and the heart and the mind that he had for the world. Okay, second thing that we can learn from Daniel's secret place with God is revelation. In our secret place, we reveal to God what's happening in our minds and hearts, isn't it? We come to him with our prayers, with our emotions and everything. But in that same place, in our secret place, God does the same. He reveals what's in his heart and what is in his mind. A life of prayer is not measured by spending hours speaking to God, but it's measured by someone learning how to seek him, how to listen to him, how to obey him. So when you finish your prayer time, your devotional time, there needs have an exchange. It's just not you bringing out things to God, but you also receiving from Him. In the book of Daniel, we read about a time when the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, became deeply disturbed by some dreams. He was so troubled that he couldn't sleep. So he called the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed, but no one could. Frustrated, he then ordered that all the wise men in the kingdom be put to death. So when Daniel heard this, when he found out, he asked the king for some time to provide the interpretation. He then goes home and tells his three friends to pray, like, let's all pray, that God will give us the revelation. And that very night, the Bible tells us that God gave him a vision revealing the mystery. So Daniel 2, 19 to 23. Daniel 2, 19 to 23. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in Him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." So how powerful is that, that Daniel was so secure in what to do in that time, that instead of become desperate and just asking God to save them, he asked to be the solution. Isn't it? He asked to partner with God, to be the solution for what was about to come. And this won't be the first time that Daniel interprets a king's dream. He interprets two other dreams, and then he begins to have his own dreams, with heavenly figures coming to give him the interpretations. In the last chapters of the book of Daniel, he received a revelation about the kingdom of God reigning again and the destruction of evil, a revelation that gives us hope even today, remind us of God's promise to rescue us from all evil. Can you imagine a slave, young man in a foreign land that could be full of despair, but because of his secret life, secret place with God, even today, what he sacrificed there, in that place with God, still gives us hope today. The revelations that he had in his secret place, just like Ursula making her notes, has a similar impact in us today. Church, God wants to reveal to his people, to you, today, what in his heart and his mind, today, so that we can walk in accordance to his will. Amen. You know, our secret life's not just for us. It's for the ones that come after us too. And what he wants to do in your secret lives has many impacts. I often pray for Leinster. And I remember praying for Leinster while we were in Brazil with this big, big church. We're small. But if God could do so much what he did with Daniel and three other friends in that land, what else can he do with us when we truly find the importance and the significance of having a true intimacy with God, to truly walk with him? Will you be some of the ones that will take the price, invest the time, and be intentional about building intimacy with God? So many people brought here this morning to do with the repentance needed for us to take that price. Michael saying about changing the things that we do. We can't just live mechanical Christian lives. We are called to pay the price to see this land healed. Job 2:28-32, he says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. I'll show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is calling us. He already poured out the Spirit in us for those who accept Him. And before us today, He wants us to prophesy. He wants us to dream, to have visions, just as Daniel, as he stepped into what God had for him in this secret place. He wants to do the same in us. Who is grateful today for a God who reveals Himself and speaks to us? Yeah. I am thankful for the prophetic voice in this church. Can we just be thankful for voices like Bex and Mandy and Leslie and Ken and so many of the prophetic voices that we have in this church, even small? We have so much of the prophetic happening in this house, Sunday after Sunday. They bring what's being revealed by God in their secret place. This is not only for them. This is for all of us. Let us continue to pursue His presence and seek His face. So we learned that just like He gave to Daniel, God wants to give us identity. God wants to give us revelation. Now, third point, God wants to give us anointing. So God wants to mark us with His presence. Being with Him, being with God, the mark that His presence brings to our lives is that He brings authority. So I want you to think about what experience have you had in your life so far, in God's presence, in your secret place. You may have had powerful experience in church. We have had prior experiencing things like conference and things, but what experience have you had in God's presence also in your secret place, just you and God? Daniel had experience with the glory of God, experience that not only testified to his spirit that God was real, but increased his faith and showed that God was far greater than he could imagine. That God was able to do anything. Daniel was so sure that God was going to give revelation. The three friends of Daniel were so confident to go to the furnace for God. What the experience that we had with God that marked your life, that you're so sure of who God is. A few weeks ago, Jason shared on the glory of God, and he brought two words, Hebrew words, that talk about his glory. So one of the words that he brought was kivot, and that means glory, honor, splendor. As we sang today all about Jesus, just as we sing those words, we could feel it, isn't it? His majesty, how splendor he is, and radiant, the glory of God. And there's another word for God's glory that is Shekinah in Portuguese. So Shekinah, that refers to the manifest presence of God among His people, among us. Today, we could feel God's presence in this place. There's something that changed when His presence, when His glory comes in His people. No, our Christian lives need to be marked by heavenly encounters. We cannot access the power and the supernatural of God unless we go deeper into His presence. The anointing is a supernatural grace that things happen that is impossible to happen in the natural, just with men. But we must be willing to pay the price for this anointing. How much of our time is spent in His presence? You know, we need to be intentionally consecrating ourselves to God. And it goes, there is to do with our discipline, spiritual discipline, reading our Bibles, praying, worshiping, praying in tongues, the fasting, all of those things take us to that place. But it's also, like Tina and Mike share, it's the posture of our hearts, of humbling ourselves, and to know that we need Him. If we can do our Christian life without the supernatural, without God, we are literally just so disciplined in living life. But it's not what we're called to do. We're called to live with God. Our lives need to be marked by heavenly encounters. Yesterday on this workshop about intercessory prayer, She was talking about what it is intercession, and she said something that I thought was really good, is when heaven collides with earth, when something happens in the spiritual world that then manifests here in our natural world. And we need to be the people bring that into place. Then our prayer life, it should be changing what's happening in the natural. And that comes from the anointing, the authority that we receive when we spend time in God's glory. We need memories. We need stories with God, the kind of encounters that change our lives and transform us. My prayer is that all of us have had this, but if you haven't had, this is my prayer for you today, that we have an encounter with God, with the Holy Spirit, that mark you, that change you. Just think about some of the encounters that we see in the Bible. Abraham, when he encounters with God, when he's about to give up Isaac, what an encounter of God showing him not just what was in his heart, but also how much provision he's there to give to him, how much the place that God wants to have in his life. You see Jacob wrestling with God when he was so afraid, isn't it, to go and see Esau, but God was again showing Jacob what was in his heart and marking him, physically marking him, to put God in the right place in his life. We see Moses meeting with God in the mountain, coming up, his face glowing, shining. And I can imagine how much those encounters changed Moses. We see Paul encountering Jesus when he's in the horse and have that encounter that makes him blind. And how much of his heart we see soul changing to Paul happening. The disciples meeting with the risen Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus himself praying in Gethsemane before being taken to the cross, we see him that almost nervous about what's about to happen. He's going to die on the cross, and he's marked by God's presence. The Bible says that angels come and strengthen him just before he has to go to the cross. No, after encounters with God like this, when we carry his anointing, we carry his presence with us, there's something that happens. You know, maybe you can remember when you were first baptized with the Holy Spirit. Something that happens that changes you. It changes everything. Okay, I want us to read one of the times where Daniel encountered the glory of God. How powerful it was. Okay, so Daniel 10. We're going to start in verse 1. Daniel 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, was called Belteshazzar. His message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz round his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed, loved it. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Okay, what an encounter. Can you imagine having that type of encounter with God? So in this passage, we see not just those powerful moments in God's presence. You see him feeling fear, having a vision, people close to him having to flee because it was so terrifying. And he see this man dressed in linen and things, and you can see that it's too much, the glory is too much. He fell down, face to the ground, he sleeps, he wakes up, he's strengthened up. And God shows him what's about to come. So in this passage, you not only see how powerful moments in the presence of God were for Daniel, but you also see that although he was a slave in the physical world, his name was known in the spiritual realms. I find it really interesting to say to him, this angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard." But then the prince of Persia was resisting. So Daniel's prayer had such a power that a battle happened in the spiritual world because of that. You know, from the day Daniel set his mind to gain understanding, to humble himself before God, his words were heard. He received authority and anointing. How many of us want to be known in the spiritual realms? How many of us want our prayers, our lives, to have such a power like this? You know, the Spirit of God is upon us. The Bible tells us that. He anointed us to proclaim the good news. He called us to set the captives free. For our people who are marked by his presence, we mark others with the presence of God too. And our prayers change things. So just like Daniel, we are called to seek God for that anointing. Okay, my last point is that just like Daniel, we are called to have an intercessor heart mission. So Daniel 9, verse 2, it says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes." Now we're going to go to 17, Daniel 9, 17. "Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." So here we see Daniel receiving revelation from the scripture as you read the prophet Jeremiah about Jerusalem and that God promised that he would rescue them. And then something happened in Daniel, that he starts pleading prayer and petition. He fasts sackcloth and ashes for a people that was slaved. You know, we say here in our church in Leominster a lot about revival. And just like Daniel, what happens in our secret place, that God puts something in our heart about the purpose he gives us. You know, Daniel, in that place of being a slave, exile, he was kind of living a better life than many of the other people, and he was with the king, close to the things. But even though his life was like this, God gave him a mission, and that mission was to pray for the people. And he's just not just pray, but he fasts and used sackcloth. There was an attitude in his heart for that people, and he prays. He asks, "Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear. Lord, act. For your sake, my God, do not delay." So from slave to prophet, discerning dreams, and now to intercessor. In Ezekiel 22:30, he says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so that I would not have destroyed it, but I found no one. You know, God is calling us to be those who pay the price of intimacy so that we can cry out for the people of this land, so that we can cry out for the people of Leinster. Yeah. Our secret plate is not only for us, not just for us to find the identity in Christ, not just for us to find a revelation, to be anointed and to walk in the anointed, but also to intercede for those God has called us to do. Now, this passage now have came many times this morning, but in 2 Chronicles 7:14, they say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Church, we are these people. We are called to live by his name, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek his face, to turn from our wicked ways. And then God will come and he will heal this land. Okay? Can you stand up with me? We're going to pray. I know this was going from lots of different parts of Daniel. You had to pay attention a lot. But my prayer is that you come home and you read Daniel and you be encouraged by his secret life in prayer with God. You know, he stood up in a difficult situation knowing that he needed to seek God, to see God's words come to fulfillment for the people of Israel. You know, we need to find our secret place, our place with intimacy and prayer in God, that we take that prize, that we humble ourselves, so we can see this land healed. I want to just to pray something for us, and for us to pray together. You know, Bex had a word for CLC Leinster some months ago, and I wrote down a prayer based in all the prophetic words that she gave us. And I just want us to pray this together. And because we as church pray every morning that we want to see this place healed, but it starts with us, it starts with our secret place. Can you put something? So Father God, we thank you that through Jesus our identity in you has been restored. And today we walk as sons and daughters who carry your DNA. Thank you, God, for the breath of life you breathe into us so that we could be made alive for the purpose you have for us. We pray that you take us to a place of surrender, a place of repentance. Transform us, God. Holy Spirit, help us in our obedience, perseverance, and steadfastness. Break every stronghold that still binds us. Transform us, God. Refine us, Lord. We want to be fully committed to you, hungry, thirsty, desperate for you, willing to change, willing to pay the price, willing to truly live for you. We thank you for Leinster. We thank you for the purpose that you have in this place. Hear our prayers, Lord, for this town. Although small, we believe your plans for here are great, as you desire to bring your kingdom here. Let your grace and mercy be known in this town. Set this place ablaze with your fire. Now, today, I think God wants to bring us a spiritual awakening. You may not have grabbed everything that I said, but I hope that you grab this. God wants you to have a deeper prayer life. God wants you to find your identity in him. God wants to reveal you things that come from his mind and his heart. God wants to anoint you with his glory, his power. And God wants to give you a heart for the place. That's you. just going to invite Jason to pray for the church before we finish. And our prayer is for anointing, that God will anoint all of us to a deeper place, intimacy with Him, in a heart that intercedes for others.